T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL Draft will be here before you know it. My next guest has spent the last month touring all of the top quarterback pro days, putting eyes on these big-time prospects. He played in the NFL for more than a decade, broke in with Tampa Bay, ended his career in Pittsburgh, was a star quarterback at Toledo, and now he is on his way to a huge media career. Probably will one day end up on Monday Night Football. I'm talking about Bruce Gradkowski. Now, it's a podcast. Took a lot to come up with the name for this podcast. He's calling it the Bruce Gradkowski Podcast. And in the latest episode, he talked to Chris Sims about, what'd you guys talk about? How much he hates Blake Bortles? Bruce, did that come up at all?
I'll tell you what, Filippone, I hired a marketing crew, a private marketing firm, to come up with that name, just like you said. So it was tough.
Did Sims tell you why he hates Blake Bortles so much?
No, he didn't. Sims is funny, man. We played together in Tampa. We had some great conversations, great stories on John Gruden. But he didn't get into Bortles too much, but I should have asked him.
Do you know his Bortles take?
I just know he's not a huge fan, but
he said that there are 70 quarterbacks in the NFL better than Blake Bortles.
That's pretty strong. I mean, that's a lot of quarterbacks. I don't know if it's 70.
What do you think? In all honesty, you were a guy that started some games in the NFL. You carved out a great career as a backup quarterback. At your best, where do you think you ranked among your peers? Top what would you say yourself in your prime?
Man, you know what? I think my prime, when I had the best opportunity, it was when I was with the Raiders. We came into Pittsburgh. We beat the Steelers. I threw for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. You know, I was really getting into a groove. I had the right coaching staff around me.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I had the pieces. And then it was injuries. The next game, I get injured. And then the next year, I battled injuries. Yeah. So when I look at these young quarterbacks, there's so many variables that go into being successful. You know, I think I had my shot then. I had 2 legit chances when I was a rookie, and then about my 4th, 5th year in the league to be a starting quarterback. And when I got that second chance, it was just injuries. And
Bruce, you've got this media thing down pat, man, because you're already deflecting. You're not going to say at the time that you were a top 20 quarterback or a top 30 quarterback. You're just going to say, I had a nice run, and that's why it's so hard to evaluate the quarterbacks in this draft now. That was a very polished answer.
You know, hey, Philip, you know me. I'd love to say, man, I was top 10. You give me an opportunity with the right team, I'm a top 10 quarterback. I mean, that's the kind of confidence I had.
You have to. You need it.
You're right. That's the kind of confidence these guys need to have.
How many of these pro days have you been to in person? Who have you seen up close? Give me some of the quarterbacks you've seen up close.
Yeah, I went to Logan Woodside out of Toledo because I know him very well.
Yeah,
and then I went to Sam Darnold's at USC, and then I went to Josh Allen's in Laramie, Wyoming. Don't even get me started on Laramie, Wyoming, but I've never been there, but it was the first time. So I wanted to see those two guys in person because they're, you know, getting talked about as the top two
guys. Who had a better pro day, Allen or Darnold?
So when I saw Darnold first, and it was on a Wednesday. You know, it starts raining. You guys all saw that pro day.
Yeah.
I'm standing there with Troy Aikman and Todd Haley, and the kid had an impressive day. I thought his footwork looked good, you know, because sometimes on film he gets out of the pocket too quick. But he was getting his feet lined up to his target. The ball was coming out nice, and then he had some weather on top of it, and he threw the ball well.
Now, so you came away impressed with that. You came away very impressed.
I came away impressed. I wasn't very impressed. You know, I wasn't like, this is my top guy. He's number one overall. I was more excited to go see Allen. I'm like, okay, I saw what Darnold. Yeah, that was impressive, man. That was impressive. But I'm thinking, okay, if you're going to be a number one overall, I want to see what Allen has. Mm-hmm. So then I go to Laramie, Wyoming. They lose my luggage. I get into this little airport, smaller than the airport at Toledo. And anyways, I make it to the pro day, and the guy's got the physical tools. I mean, he's big, athletic, has a strong arm. But the thing that – it was about 10 throws in.
Yep.
And I looked at Troy Aikman, and I said, I'm already taking Darnold over him. Because it was his sense of urgency. Like, Darnold's sense of urgency during his pro day, it looked like he was playing in a game. You know, Allen's sense of urgency was like, let me try to be perfect. I don't want to mess up. You know, Allen's a little late on every throw because he has that big of an arm that he can be. But just his anticipation, you know, I'm standing back behind Allen as he's throwing. I'm standing with Pat Shurmur. And Allen rolls out one time to throw the over route. And just my natural time clock of when I would have thrown it already went off. And then a second or two later, Allen throws it. So that's kind of how I felt like he was throwing that day. Now, the guy has tremendous upside, but I'm thinking, you know, if you're going to take someone, I just kind of feel like Darnold, and I don't want to, I get worried saying this, but Darnold reminds me a little bit of Big Ben because he can make those extra plays, and I think he's just a winner, you know, and that's the kind of guy I like.
Bruce Gradkowski, his podcast is appropriately called the Bruce Gradkowski Podcast. You can get it by checking him out on Twitter at bgradkowski5. He's our guest right now here on the Pony Express. So are you then telling me that, in your opinion, having been to Pro Days and watching the film, that the best quarterback in this draft is Darnold?
Yes.
Who's the second best?
Darnold. I have Allen. You know, I have Allen. You know, I have this is why I hate lists. You know, because like I said earlier, there's so many variables that go into being successful as a quarterback. I
mean, yeah, but Bruce, this is what the teams need to do. It's hard, but they got to rank them just like we do. You know, they got to have a list of who's first and who's fifth and whatever. So on yours, you would go Darnold 1, Allen 2, then who would be third?
I have Mayfield 3rd. Mayfield, to me, he throws the ball better than I thought. I mean, he's very efficient and accurate. The things that worry me is I feel like he was throwing a lot of wide open receivers at Oklahoma, but also since he is a smaller type quarterback, I don't really worry about size, but since he is smaller, I want to see more explosion out from under center. You know, some people want to compare him to Russell Wilson and Drew
Brees. He doesn't move like him. He doesn't move like Wilson.
No, he's not as explosive as Russell Wilson, and he's not a technician footwork wise like Drew Brees in the in the pocket. Now he can become that way, but I also think he is very accurate. So, and I think I like him because he's an alpha dog, you know, so he is a leader. He's going to go into a locker room and guys are going to follow him, and that's why I also wouldn't be surprised like if the Browns somehow made a run to get him because of that type of personality that he
has. So where do you think they take him, Bruce? If you're saying they make a run at Mayfield, you're saying don't take a quarterback first?
Yeah, maybe they do something with that number one pick. You know, I know there's some reports out that they're going to take Allen number one, which that doesn't surprise me either because you think about John Dorsey when he was in Kansas City, he traded up in the draft to get the biggest arm in the draft in Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So does he do that in Cleveland and he takes the biggest arm in Josh Allen? You know, with Josh Allen has a lot of upside, so maybe those guys in Cleveland think they got something there.
Why haven't you named Rosen yet? Why haven't we gotten to him yet? What's holding you back on Rosen?
So, right, and Rosen, honestly, he's the smartest and most ready to play quarterback right now.
You could put him in week one and he would be okay.
Yes, he's very smart. I talked to a few coaches at these pro days, and they're like, man, the dude is impressive on the board. It would be fun to work with him because he would challenge you as a coach. And the thing with Rosen that worries me is his durability. I don't think he's a guy that can make plays outside of the pocket and also maybe even inside the pocket, just avoiding the rush a little bit. And so if he starts taking some hits, I'm not sure how long he's going to last. You know, and people also question how much does he love football. And I think that's why his quote came out, you know, last week about, you know, I'm going to win more Super Bowls than Tom Brady, or I want to win six Super Bowls. Oh, wait.
You like hearing him say that?
I do. I didn't mind that because I'm actually like, okay, cool. This is the first I've heard that the guy actually wants something, you know, because I want to hear something. You got to be confident. Just like we talked about, man, I'm 6'1". I didn't have the strongest arm, but I took the field like I was freaking Joe Montana. But, you know, no one else probably thought that, but at least I had the confidence that I could go out and make plays and win a few football games.
All right, let me ask you, and we're talking to Bruce Gradkowski here, former NFL quarterback, now evaluating draft prospects. You could check out his podcast. Just search for it, SoundCloud, the Bruce Gradkowski podcast. So I'm going to put you through a couple of hypothetical situations, and you tell me the quarterback in this draft you'd want in that situation, okay?
Yeah.
2 minutes left. You need a 75-yard drive to score a touchdown at the end of the game. Which quarterback from this draft do you want taking the field?
Sam Darnold. We saw it against Penn State in the Rose Bowl. You know, he didn't play well in the first half, but the guy kind of – he just finds a way to win, you know, and I think his coach has even said that at USC. And so if it's coming down to the wire, you know, the guy might have, you know, fumbled a few times in the pocket or got out too off his reads too early, but the game's on the line. I know he's going to find a way to make a few plays.
Okay, let's say the offensive line is in shambles – and there's just a lot of pass rush and a lot of pressure. Who's the quarterback in this draft you want in that situation?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I think Lamar Jackson has a ton of upside. The thing that had me a little disappointed, I mean, he had a tremendous college career as a quarterback. I mean, you throw for 3,000 yards, rush for 1,000. I mean, the guy is unbelievable, electrifying. He can be successful at the next level, but I want to see him around the right quarterback coach right now, having an agent. I mean, help yourself out. You're seeing these top guys getting drafted. They have a private QB coach, not a buddy from high school. Lamar Jackson's footwork at his pro day was worse than at the combine, and that was very disappointing for me because if you're going to take a three-step drop under center and throw a slant route, it's 1-2-3. You plant and you throw the football. He went one.
Bruce,
are there going to be
guys in this draft who go undrafted who have better mechanics than Jackson?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. There will. I mean, I even look at you know, like, well, what I was saying on that three step drop, throwing a slant. He hitched up in the pocket. You can't hitch up on a quick game because you're going to be the offensive line is going to be right in your lap. You know, so. The kid out of Toledo, honestly, Andrew, is pretty impressive. I mean, he's the type
Woodside.
Of kid that he'll fall after these first five QBs somewhere. But his footwork's good. He's got the timing and rhythm down. So he can execute an offense right now, and he's pretty good on the board. But Lamar Jackson's the type, like if I'm a coach and I have that guy in the huddle, I know I have a chance because he's that electrifying and – he's ran some pro-style concepts at Louisville.
Give me the quarterback, and you already named Woodside. Give me somebody else outside of the first round who you think will end up coming out of this draft and being a good starter, if you think there is a guy like that.
You know, I like that kid from, you know, well, I like Mason Rudolph, but Mason Rudolph seems like a – I like him because he's like a safer bet. I don't think he's going to be like a blow-you-away starter. He's a big dude, but for how big he is, I would have thought his arm would have been stronger.
Okay.
You know, but he throws a good deep ball, but it's not like he's out there just slinging it. But I think that dude from Falk's his name.
Yeah, from Washington
impressive.
State. Is
yeah,
he really?
I like watching him. I like the way the ball comes out of his hand. I'm not big on the Luletta dude. I'd rather see like a Woodside go to New England than Luletta. But
yeah, what do you think the Patriots will do here? You think they'll take a quarterback, Bruce?
I think they have to at some point. I mean, they have to have, you know, it's just like getting an insurance policy. You need to have one on your Ferrari. You got Tom Brady, your Ferrari main guy. You got to have an insurance policy behind them and someone that's going to – take the reins, or at least get you through a few games if Brady goes down.
So if I put on this podcast with Sims, am I going to hear you guys making fun of Gruden?
You're going to hear some good stuff. Let me give you one of Sims' quotes from the podcast.
Right.
He goes, this is on Sims on Gruden being back in Oakland. Sims told me, he goes, I told him you should wear an eye patch over your eye when you coach the game because that's how much of a Raider you are. That's what Sims told Gruden. But also, I mean, I think talking about Carr, you know, what can Carr get out of it? Sims says he's going to learn more football this offseason than he's learned his first 4 or 5 seasons altogether. Mm. And, you know, Sims and I both played for Gruden. You know, we made a comment about what Gruden would call Sims at times.
Would Gruden swear a lot? Was he a guy that would raise his voice and curse you out? Was he that type of coach?
Yes. When I would be in the huddle, and, you know, usually you're calling two plays at once in the huddle. So it's like trips right, 3-jet, all go special, Cannon with 82 halfback choice. And, you know, you're always calling two plays. But then he's like, come on, Bruce, get him in the huddle. Let's go. And that's nonstop. But, you know, he's also using a little different language with it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the plays I discussed on my podcast, this is the one that kept me up at night, was Indy right 10, X short, fake 96, power king, naked left, X slot.
And I'm very familiar with that play, Bruce.
Can you repeat it?
Yeah, that was the halfback toss. That play, that's when you would give it to Michael Pittman and you would run a route and he would throw the ball to you.
Maybe it was Al Stott. I would fake it to Cadillac Williams off the right side and I'd bootleg to the left and hit Michael Pittman in the flat.
Okay. Yeah, that was a staple of the offense.
The one thing that was I thought that was interesting Sims brought up on the podcast was he thinks Gruden got better with his social skills.
Mm-hmm.
And Gruden was the type, I mean, he loves ball and he's a great teacher. And I learned a ton of good football from him, and I'll always be thankful for that. I'm a big fan of John Gruden. So I think what Sims was saying, too, is, you know, Carr's going to learn a lot of good football. Gruden's going to give him a lot of weapons and knowledge to work with on a game-to-game basis. And with the social skills being better that Sims brought up, this will help Gruden probably help those relationships with his players more. You know, and I think that was one thing maybe that he lacked early on in his coaching career.
All right, Bruce, I'm going to be following you during the draft. I want to hear you rip some of these quarterbacks and call them out for some of their faulty footwork and bad mechanics and some of their mental errors. So I want to keep you on your P's and Q's when it comes to making sure that these guys get called out. If you want to follow Bruce, it's at BGradkowski5. Check out his podcast there. Former NFL quarterback Bruce Gradkowski here on the Pony Express. Bruce, thank you so much, man. Take care, buddy.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure. Thanks, my man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.